That's an arrangement for string quartet and orchestra of West Side Story. We heard just a selection from that performance. It's called the West Side Story Concerto for String Quartet and Orchestra, arranged by Randall Craig Fleischer there. And the recording is from the Harlem Quartet with the Chicago Sinfonietta, conducted by Mei Ann Chen. And as promised, I have Jessica Lombardo on the line. She is principal horn of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra and featured in the opening concert of the season, a virtual concert, which is available on Saturday. Jessica, welcome to Classical WMUK. Thanks for joining me here today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Where am I talking to you from? Wait, I know where I am, but where are you? Where are you today?
So I'm currently in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm attending CCM, the University of Cincinnati, College Conservatory of Music, and I'm finishing my last semester of my master's degree. So yeah, that's where I currently am right now.
What town would you call home then? Where did you grow up?
So originally I am from the New York City area. I was born on Long Island, New York.
Oh.
And then I lived in Brooklyn for about 6 to 7 years. I went to Mannes School of Music in New York City for my bachelor's degree, where I studied with Phil Myers, the former principal horn of the New York Philharmonic.
Oh, wonderful opportunity, my goodness. What gave you the music and or the horn bug to begin with? Was it band or?
So both of my parents are musicians, so I just grew up around music. My mom is a singer. And she, around 5 years old, I started to take voice lessons. And then at 8 years old, it came time for us all to pick our instruments in school. And I remember my music teacher showed us a video just kind of introducing all of the instruments. And I remember seeing the French horn and thinking, wow, that's such a beautiful instrument to look at. And then I heard the sound of it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it sounds even more beautiful than it looks. So I just thought, I have to play that instrument. And I literally, like, ran home from school, and I was like, Mom, I have to play this instrument that I have to play. And she was like, you're crazy. Like, it's a very difficult instrument. You know, you play it with your left hand. You know, nobody wants to play the French horn.
She's not wrong.
It is. I mean, to this day, I'm like, wow, I kind of wish I listened. It's definitely, like, all horn players just know that it's regarded as the most difficult instrument. And no matter how much you think you've mastered the instrument, you will never master the instrument. So that's kind of how it started.
It's a design issue, I think. You know, if you sit in an orchestra, whatever you play, you know, be very quiet and respectful when it's time for the solo horn to enter.
Yes, and there's that quote for the conductor to never look at the horn player while they're playing, which is so true. You know, because it's like we're walking on a tightrope and you can't really look someone in the eye while they're about to do a very dangerous stunt like that.
It's like a sports event. Well, Jessica, this is an interesting way for the Battle Creek Symphony to start its season by featuring you and trumpeter Michael Goss, as well as trombonist Austin Motley, just the three of you carrying this program. Is there, when I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, she said, in fact, it makes a lot of sense because the three of you work together as a trio. And have developed a program and already know how to connect with a crowd.
Yeah, for sure. It's very easy. I mean, we only had one rehearsal. And you know, we, as much as we, the three of us, wished that we had more rehearsal time, we were very successful in putting together a program in only one rehearsal. And yeah, it's because, you know, working with two other people is much easier than getting an orchestra together or even a brass quintet, which is five people. And yeah, it was very easy to put together. It was really fun to work with them. And yeah, and this program is just really great because most of it is very recognizable tunes. The audience always just loves brass, and they just love to listen to brass. Kids love brass. You know, every time we do school outreaches, the kids just are paying attention the entire time, which, you know, a lot of kids, they get bored very easily when musicians go to schools and stuff. But yeah, with brass, the kids are just kind of like infatuated with it. And yeah, people just love brass, and Brass Trio is just very easy to put together, and it's just a really fun program.
So let me tell listeners, this is a free online concert. It will be streamed this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And the Battle Creek Symphony is asking that you sign up to watch the concert. There's a form you can fill out at battlecreeksymphony.org. If you have trouble signing up, there's an email you can email in order to just make sure that you can access this concert, which again is 7:30 Saturday, October 17th, and it features the top brass of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. I have Jessica Lombardo on the line right now, live here on Classical WMUK. I'm speaking of live. In fact, this was a concert you recorded after that rehearsal. Could you tell me the place? Are you in your home hall for this?
We were not. We are recorded in First Presbyterian Church in downtown Battle Creek. We were about a 2-minute walk from the hall, but we were not able to record in our usual hall.
Well, a church is an awfully nice place to hear brass music. How did it sound to you?
For sure. Oh, it was beautiful. It's a beautiful church. And yeah, I mean, brass just sounds lovely in that space. And it was so much fun to play. And yeah, I mean, there was a few things that we were trying to work out. And Anne was, our music director, was sitting in the audience, and she kept saying, "You guys sound fantastic." And then when we listened back to some parts of the pieces we were playing, we were like, "Wow, we sound really good." So yeah, it was just such a beautiful, boomy space and just very resonant space and just really perfect for brass. So
did they set it up with like one camera and let it roll, or was it a little more elaborate than that?
So we did have a little mini camera crew there. They set up lighting and everything. I would say there were about two cameramen. And I mean, there was honestly a lot going on. I think there was a few cameras that were sedentary, and then there were a couple cameramen that were kind of like, they're trying not to get too close, but you know, they were just, kind of walking around and trying to get different angles. The program will be edited, but it will be, the audience will watch it as if it's one, quote unquote, live mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. But we did do multiple takes of certain pieces. Some pieces we were able to do one or two takes, and that was all we needed. But yeah, it will be, it'll be watched as one continuous, program, like a recital.
So you and, Michael and Austin put in put in quite a lot of time on the day of recording, as well as the crew, and of course, the maestra, Anne Harrigan, just to make sure that the program was as polished and fun as possible. About how long were you there?
So we recorded for about 2 hours, and we actually were a little bit nervous that it wasn't enough time, but we actually ended up being a little bit under time. So that worked out pretty well. So we had plenty of time if we needed to, if there was anything that we needed to revisit. We recorded for the first hour, and we recorded for about, I would say, 45 minutes. We were able to take breaks in between the pieces. It was easy. It was fun. And then for the second hour, we focused on program notes. So that's something that you'll also see in the program. You'll see each of us introducing the pieces. And we each took turns kind of researching the pieces and talking about them. and that was kind of... that was more challenging in some ways.
Really?
For musicians, it's always like, you know, we're so used to just, you know, playing and not having to talk. So, so that was something to get used to, you know, talking into a camera. Some of us tried to do it from memory. Some of us wrote it down and had someone kind of stand behind the camera, and holding up our notes. So you will see that as well. You'll see us talking and engaging and, you know, talking about the pieces.
Well, that's a through line to me. I know that Anne Harrigan does often elaborate on some of the pieces before they're played. There's sort of a lot of audience interaction when with the music, putting it in context. So that's not surprising to me. Jessica, a year ago, you could not have imagined starting the season this way and being asked to be on camera and giving program notes. And was there ever a moment where you're like, I didn't sign up for this? It's too strange.
I mean, definitely, if someone told me a year ago that this was what the world would be like in my life and definitely the way that the season would start, I would have not believed them. So yeah, for sure. It was definitely, very different than live performance. But at the same time, it is a certain skill set that musicians need. And because of the state of the world, it's just the way that it is. And musicians nowadays need to get way more used to recording themselves, talking on camera, putting out content on social media, online, and just getting more familiar with technology and, recording devices and how to record yourself and all of these things. It's just the way that the world is now. And it really was like that even before the pandemic, but it's even more emphasized now. So it actually was, even though it was very different than what I'm used to and what we were all used to, it was also at the same time a great way to utilize all of those skills.
Well, good for you for stepping up, you and your colleagues in the Battle Creek Symphony. Again, the concert is accessible starting Saturday at 7:30 p.m., and the orchestra is asking people sign up online in order to get a code and a link to see it. There is a form you can fill out at battlecreeksymphony.org. Jessica, let's have a look at this program you put together. It's full of music that will make you smile and also kind of shows off what virtuoso brass playing is all about. How does this concert begin?
So we begin with the Handel. I am not very good at French, but I believe the title is pronounced La Rejou. I don't even know. I don't even want to attempt.
The one that looks like joyous, right? Rejouissance or something like that.
Yeah. And it is an arrangement, as many of the pieces on this program are arrangements, because there really isn't much that's originally written for brass trio. So there's a lot of counterpoint. And the arrangement is lovely. It utilizes the instruments very well. And it really, there's a lot of like running 16ths, and it's just very exciting. And if you like, the Gabrielli's or any of those kind of like early music brass pieces, then you will love this piece.
Really classic. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned Poulenc. I would love to take a short moment and hear a little bit of this sonata because it is special. You said that not much on the program is originally written for trumpet, horn, and trombone, but this is. What do you know about this sonata for trumpet, trombone, and horn?
Yeah, so it really is a staple in the brass trio repertoire. It's one of the only standard pieces that's originally written for our instrumentation. And Francis Poulenc wrote this piece when he was very young. He wrote it, I believe the piece was written in the 1920s, and he was also in his early 20s when he wrote this piece. And apparently he wrote it, he was basically a genius, and he wrote it very quickly. Not to say because he wrote it quickly doesn't mean that it's good, but he was just, in his early 20s, and he was like, let me just, write a brass trio real quick. And it's a lovely piece. It's played very often. And Poulenc just was, very young when he wrote it. And he was kind of just a genius. So good for him for writing a piece for us.
Now, I actually don't know whether this is true or not, but many pieces with unusual instrumentation there are certain players or performers who have twisted the arm of the composer to say, we need this from you, and they write a special piece like this. And that could be the case with this sonata. Jessica, please stay on the line. We'll listen to a 3-minute segment of the sonata, this opening movement, and return to discuss Top Brass, which is the season premiere of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra this Saturday at 7:30. We'll be right back with you, Jessica. Stay on the line. Well, that puts a smile on your face. Music of Francis Poulenc.
It really does.
I'm on the line here. We're listening together. This is Jessica Lombardo of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. She's the horn player in the concert this Saturday, which will be released online at 7:30 p.m. You probably want to know who the musicians in that recording were. I'm going to have to open up this. There it is. It's a bunch of British musicians, I think, Jessica. Richard Watkins on horn, John Wallace, trumpet, and David Purser, trombone in that recording.
Oh, great.
Brass music is certainly...
Yeah, that was a great, that was a lovely recording.
I was thinking of Haydn, who is known for this sense of humor, the start and stop, the strange, you know, misaligned phrases, and Poulenc's doing it all over the place here too. So it's wonderful music.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the first movement is just really exciting. And then the second movement's a little bit, you know, slower and a little bit more lyrical. And the last movement is very exciting as well. So it's just a roller coaster of emotions when you're listening to it. It's very exciting music. So
I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here, Jessica, and ask you about what you like about your co-workers playing. And maybe we'll start with the trumpeter, Michael Goss. Tell me what you think is great about his playing.
Well, Michael is just great to work with. He's, you know, just as a person, he's very fun to work with, which I always appreciate. Mm. He's also really into cooking, so him and I kind of bond about that a little bit, because I'm Italian, so. But as far as his playing is concerned, he's a fantastic trumpet player. I actually was on the panel for his audition when he auditioned for the orchestra. His audition was the same day. We won our jobs the same day. My audition was in the morning and his was later on, and I was sitting on the panel and listening to him. And of course the auditions are blind. And I remember, like, he played a few notes and I thought, oh, that's the guy. Like, I was immediately like, we have to hire him. He's just, you know, trumpet is just, you just have to be so confident when you play the trumpet, and a principal trumpet player just has that sound. They just have to have a very recognizable sound. He has that quality in his sound. He has a very principal trumpet sound, and it's very present. But it's also a very beautiful sound. Yeah, he's just very, very confident. You know, the starts of his notes are very confident. That's a big thing about trumpet. That's a thing about most brass playing is articulation. And a lot of brass players tend to have this, we call it wah-wah articulation, where it kind of sounds like they're kind of easing into the notes like wah. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to kind of have the start of the note just be immediate. And that's what Mike has when he plays. He has this immediacy to the sound of the note. It's just like, bam, it's just right there. And that's what you want in a trumpet player.
Well, that's just a terrific, a special story, very personal. And I can also let listeners know, I believe that Michael Goss, as a student here at Western Michigan University, would have worked with Stephen Jones as well as Scott Thornburg, and on his way to developing that terrific sound. So let's move on to the trombonist Austin Motley.
Yeah, so I know Austin very. Austin and I went to school together at CCM, and we still are both students at CCM. I also was on the panel for his audition as well. And it was kind of the same experience that I had when I was listening to his audition. I was, he was behind a screen. I couldn't see him, but the panel just kind of knew within the first couple notes that he played and the first couple excerpts that, okay, this is someone that we want in the final, in the finals. So he, similarly to Mike, he has a very recognizable, very prominent trombone sound, which is very akin to a principal brass player. It's just very present. It's very, it's not too sharp, but it's like, it's beautiful, but it's bright. And the same thing with Mike would be, as far as articulation goes, he, and trombone is especially guilty of doing kind of that wah-wah thing with the notes.
It is.
And in fact, it's exactly. I mean, sometimes people want that. It's a stylistic thing. But for the most part, I mean, as far as classical trombone playing goes, he just has such a great sound, great articulation. He's very easy to work with. And he's a phenomenal trombone player.
Well, I think before we go, Jessica, I wanted to remind listeners that the three of you have interacted with lots and lots of young people because the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra has outreach events like 70-some every year in a typical season. So you've developed camaraderie, repertoire, and a way of communication with young people, and if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for sure. We would do multiple outreach programs in one day, like three or four some days, going to different schools, and just a lot of interacting with young people, of all ages. Some of them were very young, some of them were more like middle school age, some even like early high school age. So yes, we have interacted with a lot of young people, for sure.
And the Battle Creek Symphony is offering this concert for free to anyone who wants to tune in. I'm sure donations will be gratefully accepted. But the time to tune in is 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, which is the typical concert night time for Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra patrons. You can sign up online to get the link to this concert. And Jessica, I guess, any final thoughts on this broadcast? Are you going to get in your pajamas and watch from home?
Oh, I'll definitely be watching. I don't know how, I'm going to be watching myself talking to the camera. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I'm very excited. And I mean, this program is just lovely. You're going to enjoy it so much. The music is very exciting, most of it very recognizable. Watch it with your kids. They're going to love it. Just everyone loves brass, so tune in.
And find some new favorite brass players to watch as the season progresses. Thanks so much, Jessica. Let's hear music that will be present on the program from Bizet's Carmen, and I have a recording going back to the late 80s from the very famous Canadian ensemble, the Canadian Brass, which you gave a seal of approval to when we were talking off air.
Absolutely. As far as brass chamber goes, they are the top. They're the best.
They're the most, they're so entertaining too. Really nice to talk with you, Jessica. Yeah. And let's hope lots of folks are watching on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, please tune in if you're listening.